Welcome to the Cloquet Vineyard. To find out more of who we are, go to cloquetvineyard.org. Thanks for listening and have a good and beautiful day.
Good morning, y'all. Thank you very much for letting me come. I wanted to let you know before we started that one of the things I said when Chris asked me if I'd come fill in, I said, I will only come if the floor is green. So, like, I don't need green M&Ms, I don't need green Skittles, I just need the floor to be green. And so he must have been up late painting and making the floor green for me, so I thought that was pretty nice. It was either that or for the play that's coming up this week, I'm not really sure. I'm just believing that he did it exclusively for me because I like green floors, I think. So, like Nikki said, my name is Ben Lafreniere. I'm originally from Duluth. I like to say I was driving close to God's country. Like, I'm really close to God's country right now. I'm going to finish the pilgrimage after church today and head to Duluth and experience, like, you know, all of God's goodness, because I think that's where God resides, right? Is that... Yeah? Okay. Like, you know who's from Duluth? They're like, yeah, you know who, but is not. They're looking at me like, really? That's where you're going? That's where you're starting right now? But I figured, you know, but I was coming to up this area. I try not to eat too much junk if I can, and I try to eat fairly clean, but I knew I was coming, so yesterday I worked out really hard, because I'm like, well, can I eat Gordy's, and can I go get a Coney in Duluth, and can I hit all of the places that I like to eat really garbage food all in one day, and then try to drive home? So I'm going to do like this marathon thing and hit all of my favorite restaurants before I go home, so hopefully I make it. I want to show you a little bit about me before I get started here. This is my family right here. That's my wife, Jen. We've been married for 17 years, just over 17 years, and I definitely outkicked my coverage, and my wife is wonderful. I love being married. It's like my favorite thing in the world. Like, next to following Jesus, like getting married to her and somehow tricking her into marrying me is like the best decision that has ever happened to me in my whole entire life. She's an amazing woman. On the right, on Jen's back, that's my daughter, Amaya. She just turned 13 on Wednesday, and so we have two teenagers in our house. And not only do we have two teenagers in our house, we have two teenage girls in our house. And so, I know, like, those of you that are chucking nervously have been there, or you've had that. I grew up the oldest of three boys. Boys punch each other and wrestle, and, like, you know, you try to get them to keep on their underwear, right? Like, you just keep them clothed is, like, the name of the game. Like, he stayed clothed all day, he's alive, perfect. Girls don't work that way, right? In general, girls don't work that way. So we have two teenage girls. On my back there is my daughter, Annalise, and she is 15. And I love being a dad, too. Like, when Jen and I first met, I wasn't all that convinced that I wanted to have kids. Like, for a bunch of different reasons, I thought, I don't think I'm cut out to be a dad. It's not going to happen. Like, I just don't think I'm going to have kids. If Jen would have said, I don't want to have kids, I think we'd have been just fine. Or I would have been just fine. Except for the fact that I would have gotten to the end of my life and somehow learned, I don't know, when I got to heaven and learned, like, what I missed out on, I'd have been so disappointed, because having kids has been, like, the most rich and fulfilling thing of my whole entire life. Right? I feel like I have experienced God's goodness through my children more than anything else. Like, Elise, was that her name? Cute Elise praying here. Like, if you want to experience God, if you want to experience God's love, ask one of these kids to pray for you. And, like, give them a couple, just, would you pray for me? Like, pray for me about this. And their prayers are, like, normally, like, these kids' prayers are just amazing because they're short, they're sweet, they're to the point, and they believe what they're praying for. Right? They don't use all these big Christianese words to make them sound smart. They don't, like, they just pray, like, God, heal this, right? Heal this guy up. Heal whatever it is up. But kids, I love my kids. But if I wouldn't have had kids, I'd have been so disappointed. But it took me a little while to figure out, like, how does this parenting stuff work? And when Anna was about, like, I don't know, about, like, 5, 6 years old, somewhere in that age, when she's this cute little Annalise, there's a little cute little Annalise, we decided, like, Jen and I had decided that for the first couple years of our kids' lives, like, one of us was going to stay home. And so Jen stayed home with Anna till Anna was about three, somewhere in there, two and a half, three, somewhere in there. And then I stayed home with both of them when our youngest was born. I was a stay-at-home dad for 2.5 years, which was an amazing experience. That's a whole different sermon series about that. That's nuts stuff. But Anna, I remember, we would drop Anna off at this at preschool. And it was a great preschool. My wife happened to be the head of schools at this preschool. There was tons of kids, hundreds of kids, tons of classrooms. It was an amazing thing. And we would drop her off, and after she was there a little bit, just like maybe a week or two, all of a sudden, I'd be at my office, and I'd be working, and I'd be sitting at the in my office doing my thing, and all of a sudden, I would feel like there was an elephant sitting on my chest. Like, I couldn't breathe. I couldn't figure out, like, what was going on. I get kind of panicked, like, what is happening? I'm just working. Like, but I didn't have a stressful job, right? I listened to music all day and got paid to listen to music. That's, like, an amazing job, right? I just felt like there was something sitting on my chest, and I couldn't get it off. I couldn't figure out what it was. And I'd pray a little bit, God, take that away. I don't know what's going on. And it would go away. And then a little bit later, I'd be working. I'd be thinking, I wonder what Anna's doing right now. Like, she had been with Jen the whole time. She had been with one of us the whole time. I wonder what Anna's doing right now. And all of a sudden, I'd feel it again. I'd get panicky. And this kind of threw me for a loop because, in general, like, I'm really chill. Like, nothing really gets me too, like, it's going to take you a lot to offend me. Like, it takes a lot to offend me. It takes a lot to get me upset. It takes a lot to get me mad. I'm just really chill. And so I wasn't really used to that. I didn't know what was happening. So after it happened a few times, I got home and told Jen, like, I don't know what's happening. I think I'm going crazy, honey. Like, I think I'm going to die. Like, I don't know what's happening to me. Something is going on, and I'm going to die. I'm pretty sure. Make sure the life insurance is up. You're going to need to find another husband because I'm a gono. I'm gonzo. This is bad. And through, like, her infinite wisdom, she's like, Ben, I don't think you're dying, but I think you're having panic attacks. And I said, whatever. I don't have panic attacks. That's not how it works. Like, no. What do I have panic attacks about? She said, you have been, you know, I've been with Anna all this time. We've had Anna with us or with family. We never had to have a babysitter because, you know, currently we live a block away from my in-laws, and, you know, they're there. We have the only grandkids they have, so it's an amazing thing. So we never had to have a babysitter. It was always family. She said, yeah, you're experiencing panic attacks. And I said, no, I'm not. Like, I trust that Jesus is taking care of our kids. And I felt like God said, no. Like, you are. Like, you're having panic attacks. And so through a little while, I told Jen, I'm like, no, you're wrong. I don't believe you. You can't possibly be right. And eventually she said, let me just pray for you. I'm going to pray for you about this. And she prayed for me. And I just experienced just this really, I mean, just, you know, when God comes and does something, just this really miraculous, beautiful thing that I knew. Yes, I was having panic attacks. I wasn't trusting God that my daughter was okay. I wasn't trusting that God had her taken care of. And God just lifted it, right? In his mercy, he just lifted it immediately. And I just felt just so much better. And I remember just processing through that, being like, God, why did that happen to me? Like, I've never experienced that. I've never experienced anything like that in my entire life. And I kind of felt like God said, he said a whole bunch of things, but I remember one of the things that I really kind of came away with is that's the love, man. That's what it is. Like, when your babies are like that, this is how you feel towards your babies. You don't want to have panic attacks. Like, that's bad, right? That's not the good part. But this intense, this love you have, and that's how I feel about you, Ben. That protective instinct you've got, that thing like where you feel like you finally like met the person that you will take a bullet for or that you'll stand in front of a bus for, that's how I feel about you. So I realized then, like, this is my one time experiencing anxiety there, was that I realized afterwards, it changed my heart because I realized that many people experience anxiety on a daily basis. I was reading recently that an estimated 44 million adults suffer with some sort of anxiety disorder. 44 million, that's a lot of people. And so I thought, well, I'm going to Google anti-anxiety medications, right? Just because I wanted to Google and see, like, well, what's out there? Because I haven't really seen anything. And there's thousands and thousands of hits, just like anything on Google. There's thousands of things for anti-anxiety medications. I was kind of surprised. I even found them for your dog. Like, I found, like, canine anti-anxiety medication. Well, maybe my dog needs some. We worry a lot, right? In general, we worry a lot. If worry was an Olympic sport, we'd probably win the gold, right? We worry. But as followers of Jesus, if you would call yourself a follower of Jesus, and if you wouldn't, we're really glad you're here today as we explore some of the claims of Jesus. If you want to be more like Jesus, if you want to be unequivocally attached to him, if you want to become like him, we are meant to be kingdom people. We are meant to be kingdom people who live out his kingdom life, embracing his agenda. And we are meant to be learning from Jesus how to live a life that he lived. Like, as we figure out what does it mean to follow Jesus, I feel like a few years ago, one of the things, there's so much stuff we can do, right? There's so many things we can focus on as followers of Jesus. I thought, well, it's too much. Like, it's overwhelming for me. So a few years ago, I thought, I just want to go in and just read from the New Testament. I'm just going to read the Gospels a whole bunch. Like, this is Jesus' words. I'm going to just see what he did, and I'm going to try to do that. Like, not in those movie ways. You know, like the guy that had, like, the book 365 Days of Living Biblically, right? He tried to follow all the things in the Bible, and it's more of a comedy than anything else. But I thought, I'm just going to try to be like Jesus, and I want to figure out, what does Jesus have to say about these things? And it's pretty challenging, because a lot of the things that I was pretty convinced that Jesus said, he actually didn't really say. But as followers of Jesus, we're meant to follow and live our lives like Jesus. And I can guarantee you that one of the things that Jesus does not want us to experience is anxiety. Jesus wants us to trust. So I want to read this morning from Matthew 6, 24, or 25 through 34. There's a whole bunch of verses. We're going to read them. I'm only going to touch on a few of them. But if you want to write these down or remember them, these are really good verses to read as you go throughout the week. It says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Let's say that again. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor, they do not spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your presence here today. We thank you that you were here before we even showed up. Jesus, I want to praise you for your goodness and your care and your love. That even despite the fact that you know me inside and out, you know all of the really bad things there is to know about me, you still love me and you haven't given up on me. And so today, God, I ask that the words that I say would be your words, that anything that I say that's not of you, we chew it up, we spit it out, because what we want from you, what we want this morning is life change from you, Jesus. We want you this morning. We don't want more words. We don't want more whatever, theories. We want you, Jesus. We want the person of Jesus. So we just ask your Holy Spirit just to come now and change our lives. I pray that we'd walk out different than we walked in this morning. Amen. So as you've probably already gathered, I want to talk a little bit about anxiety. But I want to say a couple things right up front before I even start. I don't normally do this, but I want to say a couple of things that I'm not saying this morning, because I don't want you to pull some things out that aren't actually there. Because I realize and I understand that my experience that I shared about experiencing anxiety like one time, that's like peanuts compared to what some of you are experiencing over and over again, what some of you are experiencing on a daily basis. And I realize that, like I said, that God brought me freedom, you know, after Jen prayed for me that one time, and maybe you've been praying for years and years about this issue or maybe another issue, and God hasn't fully answered it yet, and I don't want you to give up on asking him. But even more than that, like I said, I believe that God heals. Right, like I believe that God has the capacity to heal you of whatever it is you're experiencing right now. Everything, no exceptions. I believe that God can come and heal you right now. Like we could pray for you and we could see you healed instantly. It's up to God. God does whatever God wants to do. It's God, like it's our job to pray and it's God's job to heal, right? However he wants to do that. But I also believe that God likes to use doctors. God likes to use nurses. God likes to use medicine. God likes to use conversation. God likes to use many different things to heal. So I realize that as we journey through some of these difficulties, oftentimes in churches it can become kind of this thing like, oh, obviously if you're having to take some sort of medication for whatever it is, you obviously don't have enough faith, which I just want to say is rubbish. That's garbage. So I don't want anyone to hear like that's what I'm saying today because I'm not. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is that Jesus cares deeply and passionately about you, and he loves you madly, and he wants you to keep going. So cool, are we on the same page? Is that all right? Can I start by saying what I'm not about, or we're not knocking about? What Jesus is concerned about. Jesus is concerned about the focus of our lives. Right? Jesus is always concerned about our hearts and about our minds. It seems like many of the problems that we experience in our lives come on because of our hearts, right? Our hearts can be wicked, right? The things that our hearts desire, the things that we think about, they can be pretty dang off. It can be a little bit not right sometimes. And God is concerned about the focus of our lives. And here I believe in many ways God is addressing our thought life. And he brings up our incessant and our compulsive patterns of worry and anxiety. And he says, we don't have to worry. And I feel like oftentimes when I'm reading the Bible, when something is mentioned more than once, I pay attention because I'm kind of simple. And so when it's done a few times, I think, okay, Jesus is trying to get my attention here. Like, I want to pay attention to this. And he says in verse 25, he says, do not worry. In verse 31, he says, do not worry. And just in case you missed it, in verse 34, he says again, he says, do not worry. He says, don't worry. And if you've been alive for like any more than like 10 years, you know, have you noticed that many of the important concepts in life seem extremely simple? Right? It seems extremely simple. Don't worry. Like, you want to lose weight? Eat less, move more. You want to change your financial situation? Spend less, save more. Right? That's really simple. It's really simple. But even though these concepts and even though these things are completely simple, they're anything but easy. I was talking with my oldest daughter, who she is like the complete polar opposite of me. Except for the fact that she's got an amazing sense of humor, just like mine, I would say. Like, she's got a great sense of humor. We laugh at the same jokes. She almost laughs at the dad jokes that I text her all the time. She just loves receiving my dad jokes. I don't know what happened. Like, I think two things happened when my first daughter came out. Like, I realized what true love was really all about, and dad jokes instantly. It was like downloaded. Boom. Like, I didn't know where it came from. But we have different personalities in that I'm extremely extroverted. Like, you know, like, my introverted time is like spent like in the time it takes me to go to the bathroom. Like, okay, I'm recharged. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to talk. I'm ready to, you know. Anna is not like that. Anna needs time. Like, she needs to, like, she went to the library. We got her 6 books yesterday, and she'll have them read within like 5 or 6 days. Like, she just, like, I need my alone time. I need my books. And so she was talking to me one day about how she felt nervous. How she was experiencing she was nervous about something. And she said, don't you get nervous? And I'm like, no, I don't get nervous. She said, about anything? I said, no, not really, I don't. And she said, well, how? I said, this is going to be really helpful for you. Let me tell you how I don't get nervous. And she said, okay. I said, I just don't. She's like, really, Dad? I'm like, yeah, honey, I'm sorry. Like, I don't. I just, if I all of a sudden I find myself getting nervous about something, I tell myself that what I'm about to do isn't really that big of a deal. That my wife, like, your mom and you two love me and Jesus is crazy about me and whatever is about to happen isn't going to change that. So I just remind myself of that. She's like, yeah, thanks, Dad. So, yeah, I mean, like, she didn't say to me, is that a dad joke? I'm not sure. Is that? So even though, like I said to her, even though things are completely simple, they're not easy. So Jesus is using here the repetition to address the problem that we have, and that we know that it's a problem for the way that we talk about it, right? If people worry too much, we say they're a worry wart. We say, like, oh yeah, they're a worry wart. They worry about things. You know, it's funny. My wife has a tendency to worry about things a little bit. She's much better now. But I learned after we had been dating for a little while, she's gonna kill me. Hopefully, just press pause. Okay, don't record this part real quick. We were visiting one time before we got married, and her mom somehow let it slip that her nickname was the Crisis Queen. I'm like, oh my gosh, that explains so much. You are so right. She's not like that anymore. She's not like that anymore. And so Jesus seems to address a couple of the areas that people of his day and ours worry about things. He says, life is more than food or clothes. Right? We could add a whole bunch of things to this, but he says, life is more. Come on, guys. Life is more than food or clothes. And even though we might tell someone you are what you eat, you know, life is more, so much more than the things that we own or the things that we eat. Right, and this can be a struggle for us because we're advertised to day and night. Like, we fall victim to all that stuff. I want a newer car, I want a newer this, I want a newer that. I'm surprised we don't make it every day without a new phone or a new car or a new outfit or a new whatever. And I am squarely in that camp, right? I drank the Apple Kool-Aid years ago. Right? A new phone comes out, yep, I'm buying it. I don't care. I'll like sell my left arm. I'm buying this new phone. Right? It doesn't matter. I worked for Apple for 5.5 years. I drank the Kool-Aid so much. Apple comes out with a new product. I'm going to buy it, right? This is the new iRock, and it's a rock, like the pet rock. Okay, I'll buy it. $500? Sure. It's mine. I've got it. I fight that urge all the time. And I remember I read a quote once from one of the Rockefellers. I don't remember which one, but he was asked the question, how much money would it take for you to be really satisfied? How much money would it take for you to be really satisfied? And what does he say? Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. And we kind of chuckle, like I'm like, oh, come on, you're like the richest guy in the world, right? The richest. But I feel that, right? I feel that same way. Have you discovered that no matter how much, you know, how many toys you buy, no matter how many bikes you have, no matter motorcycles or gadgets or, you know, kitchen appliances or kitchen stuff or specialty shoes or like, those are all just the things that I really like. Those are the things that I mentioned there. But whatever it is that you like, no matter how many you have, it's not enough. Just one more fill in the blank is not going to make you happy. We have this drive, this desire. We think that it's going to make us happy. We get it, and we realize wherever I go, there I am. Right? No matter how many whatever, I still experience that same worry. I still experience that same anxiety. I think this is going to bring me happiness, but it doesn't. And the thing about anxiety is anxiety does not get us anywhere. Right? Anxiety will steal your joy and crush your life. Like worry and anxiety has power over your mind. It's like a vice grip on your brain. It's like a vice grip on your thoughts. You know, the word for worry in the Bible, it can mean divided or distracted. You ever try to talk to someone who's distracted? Spouses, you ever tried to like talk to your spouse while they're watching TV? Right? You seen that meme on the internet, you know? My wife just said to me, "Are you even listening to me?" He says, "That's an odd way to start a conversation." Right? Or if you have teenagers or kids who have phones, you ever try to talk to your kid on the phone or while they're on the phone? I just told you how much I love Apple devices, right? I mean, I love these Apple devices, but I can't tell you how many times like iPhones have not been like chucked out the window as I'm driving down the road because they're not listening to me as they're like, you know, playing or texting or doing whatever it is they're on their phone. Another word for about a worry or anxiousness in the Bible also, it refers to being choked off or refers to being strangled. And this is how it feels to be consumed with worry. You know, things or events or whatever we have going on in our lives seem to have us by the throat. They seem to be cutting off our breath. We fear being harmed. We fear what's going to happen to us. We feel like all of our efforts are going to do anything about it are helpless and that we're not going to be able to do anything. And I want to tell you that God did not intend us to live this way. Right? Can you relate to this at all? Have you ever felt that way before? Right? This is horrible. Like we would never choose to live like this. So if we can't live our lives strangled by worry, we also realize that we have to care about things. Right? We can't, I realize this is a double negative, but we can't not care about things. Like we can't just go through life not caring about stuff. We can't just like not care about anything. That wouldn't work really well. But it seems like oftentimes like our human like dynamic or the thing that we do is when something isn't working right and we're over here like, okay, this anxiety stuff isn't serving me very well. Let's swing this pendulum all over here. So obviously it must be better to not care about anything. Right? Like if you make cookies, you make chocolate chip cookies, well, a little bit of sugar is good, so a lot of sugar must be better. Whoa, you ever made chocolate chip cookies with too much sugar? They're bad. Right, a little bit of salt is really good. You'll know you missed a little bit of salt in chocolate chip cookies, but if you add too much salt into chocolate chip cookies, it's horrible. We think that we should swing this pendulum all the way to the other side, and that's not how it works. Like, we have to care about things. Right, it seems like when people, when they want to lose weight, like I went through a period of time where I lost a ton of weight and I worked really hard and I went through this pendulum thing. I'd lose like 50 pounds, gain 80. I'd lose like 10 pounds, gain 40, right? Like this isn't working quite right because I thought, well, I'm just going to eat lettuce and drink water and work out a whole bunch and I'm going to lose all the weight. Like I'm going to go from, you know, eating all this really bad stuff to eating what I think is only healthy. And what happened? That was bad too. So what's the difference between anxiety and worry and what I'm going to call healthy concern? I think healthy concern is all right. The Bible says, it never says that we should just live in cluelessness. Think, for example, if you're shopping in Target or wherever you go, the grocery store with your toddler, two-year-old, three-year-old, and all of a sudden you're going along, you're looking at your stuff in Target, and you realize your kid is not with you anymore. You realize it's a little quiet and there's nothing breaking behind me. I must be all by myself. Your first thought probably should not be, they'll come back, right? Except for I've seemed to notice that with, I only had two kids, but I seem to notice that the people that have like four or more, that sometimes is the thing. They'll come back. I've got like five of them that have made it. They'll be fine. They'll come back. And if not, I've got four more. I think this, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. Right? No, you should not think, oh, they'll come back. You know, you're going to go find them. You're going to go figure out where they're at. If there's a crisis coming towards you, if there's something wrong with one of your kids, if you can't find them, or you're facing a financial crisis, or you've got a financial problem, or you're facing major surgery, sticking your head in the sand and ignoring it is not going to do you any good. The Bible doesn't say don't think about it. You know, just put the crisis out of your mind, minimize it. Right? I love the Bible because it helps us and it even forces us to live in reality. In the Bible, we discover emotional health. We discover, that emotional health, that mental health, and that freedom from worry is tied to gaining as much of the truth as we possibly can. So what's the difference between anxiety or worry and healthy concern? This here is what anxiety looks like. This is what worry looks like. Right? Anybody who struggles with anxiety, you feel this. No matter what I do, I end up in the same spot, right? Keeps going and going and going, right? Anxiety spins us in circles. Destructive worry, it always has the element of circular thinking. It's where we always just are, we're coming back to the same point and we're not moving forward, we're not able to do anything. We're just spinning around in our mind, a process that results in mental exhaustion and emotional incapacitation and self-absorption, right? We just get stuck. And I realized that it's not just a matter, like it's not just as easy. I said to my daughter, okay, just don't do that. But I realized for some of us, we can't get out of that. We can't get out of that. Right? You're a student, and you face an exam the next day, which is a crisis event for you, because this is how it works. This is how you feel like it works. I've got to pass the test tomorrow. Tests are really important. If I don't pass that test tomorrow, I'm not going to pass this class. If I don't pass this class, I'm going to probably be put on academic probation. And if I get put on probation, I'm going to get thrown out of school. And if I get thrown out of school, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself because I'm not going to get a job. And all of a sudden, I'm going to be living in a van down by the river. And it's not like I'm not going to be able to eat. And all, like, boom, boom. Right? That's anxiety. These kind of distracting thoughts, they just wear us out. Right? It might actually cause you to lose sleep or to have headaches or stomach problems or experience some sort of health issues. Right? For many people, this kind of destructive thoughts, this destructive worry, pardon me, it creates overeating or irritability or whatever it is. So if worry is circular, moving towards an action, concern is linear. It's moving toward action, right? In that example, constructive concern would say, I've got an exam tomorrow, I need to pass it. And so rather than minimize it and say, oh no, big deal, I'm going to go flip on the TV, and rather than being super spiritualized and say, I'm just going to open my Bible and I'm going to like play some songs and like praise the Lord for a little while and everything will be fine. No, I have a crisis, I have a concern. I'm going to pray about it, I'm going to bring it to Jesus, and I'm going to sit down and study. Constructive concern, it always moves us towards action. It always moves us towards a solution. I heard it said one time that worry is practical atheism. Worry is practical atheism. I don't know why that just like hit me in the head like a board. In verse 32 it says, for the pagans run after all these things. And Jesus is saying that by choosing to live in this place of constant worry and anxiety, we're practically living our lives as if God doesn't exist. Right, a preoccupation with food or clothes or whatever it might be, it prompts this question: is our physical well-being, is it a worthy object to which we should devote our entire lives? Is it all that significant of a life of how good things look or how good things go or how well things or how well fed we are or what it is that we whatever fill in the blank to whatever it is that you're thinking. So Jesus is concerned with our thought life. Jesus is concerned about the things that we think about. He wants us to think, like, be like focused on him and realizing that he's got us taken care of. Because Jesus is concerned with our needs being met. Right? The Bible doesn't say take no thought to your dinner. Right? You're probably not going to sit down tonight. Like, if I sit down tonight at our dinner table, I think everyone's going to be home for dinner tonight. And we sit down and I say, oh, I didn't think of it. Anybody think about this? Anybody have any plans? Anybody got dinner planned out? Like, that's not going to work. We're not going to eat. Well, although my family would be really happy because they would get to eat cereal. Because my family will eat, even my wife will eat cereal for breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day of their stinking lives, which just drives me nuts. I couldn't do that. Right? We can watch birds, right? We watch birds around us, like working really hard, like taking care of themselves, teaching their, you know, young to fly, getting their stuff. We see the trees grow. Well, finally, I think, right? I think we see some trees growing. I think it's, I'm glad I made it up north for like the one time it's nice all year. It's probably going to snow next week. And so we're, yeah. I'm not speaking that over you. I'm just, come on. I grew up in Duluth. Like this is it, right? I was really happy. Oh, it's above freezing. Beautiful. But we see, right? We see these things. We see things grow. We see the pretty plants. We see the flowers. We see that kind of stuff. And we know that God has ordained that. God has taken care of them. Now think of this. Think of worry and anxiousness as distrust. And do your best to push it out of your mind. Like, I don't work out of fear or anxiety, but in trust and obedience to what God has called me to. Right? I don't work out of fear or anxiety. I don't do these things out of fear or anxiety. Those things don't motivate me. I trust in God and the things that I'm doing them in obedience to Him and what He has called me to do. And at the end of the day, I don't just have a few dollars in my pocket, but I have a gracious gift from the hand of God. He's the one who's given us everything we need to be able to do anything that we can do. Because your Heavenly Father knows your needs. Like, God knows you. God knows what you need. He already knows what you need before you even needed it, right? Provision has already been made. Like I said, the birds and the wildflowers, they bear witness to an order in the kingdom of God which adequately provides everyone with the things that they need. And here's the thing today. Jesus is inviting us to live a fulfilled, to live a complete, to live a truly human life. How? Like he mentions, by seeking first the kingdom of God. Right, by seeking the kingdom of God, by seeking like God's rule and reign. You know, God's the boss. He's the one who calls the shots. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." Right? We're following him and what it is, what it means to follow him in this kingdom life. Right? Entering his kingdom means we submit to him and we continue to submit to him over and over and over again. To seek first his kingdom, it means that we're resolving to live our lives under God's direction and God's control. Right, oftentimes, the things that we think we need, like I realized I didn't need a new iPhone. When the iPhone 10 came out, I realized I didn't need it. I really wanted it. So sometimes our expectations have to be adjusted, like the things that we really need versus the things that we really want. So if Jesus is inviting us to live a fulfilled life by seeking his kingdom, he's also inviting us to live a fulfilled life by participating with him. Right? Participating with him in what he's doing. And this is a return to a position or a posture of dependence. You know, we're created to live completely dependent on him, on God, on our Heavenly Father. Right? As we read in Genesis, we can see like, you know, like our first parents, they said, well, I can take care of this. Like, I got this. You know, we can take care of ourselves. We don't need to follow these rules. We'll do whatever it is that we want to do. And we've been doing this over and over ever since. And Jesus is showing us that we can live as children in a spirit of trust. And Jesus is not inviting us into some sort of reclusive monastic life, right? He's inviting us to live life as it was meant to be lived, full and complete and rich and beautiful. And yes, introverts, with other people in community. God has called us to live in community. I just want to say, you guys have an amazing community here. I don't know, like, if this is your first time here, you should just hang out here. I think I could, like, the biggest compliment I could give is, like, if I lived here, I'd come to this church. I'd come hang out at this church. This is an amazing church. Your pastors, Chris and Nikki, are amazing people. I love them both dearly. If Chris was here, I'd give him a big hug because he loves hugs from me. Yep, you guys all know Chris. So what I'd like you to do is next week, everyone, please, each one of you, give him a hug. This is from Ben. Hug. Hug. Just maybe a kiss on the cheek. That's from Ben. Please. God has called us to live this out in community. God has called you here in this community to live this out, right? The people sitting next to you, right? The people sitting across from you, the people you don't know, that God has called you to walk with them. God has called us to walk together. And that's really hard because what that requires is vulnerability. Right, if you've been struggling with anxiety, where you feel like you've got that elephant always sitting on your chest, and you think, I can't tell anyone that. Like, Jesus wants you to say something. Like, Jesus wants to bring you freedom at some point in time in some way. Jesus wants you to journey together. know, God has plans to care for you. He has plans to take care of your family. But the challenge is that often it looks completely different than we think it's going to. I just turned 40 this past year. I don't feel 40. I'm not sure what 40 was going to feel like, but I didn't think it'd feel like this. I still feel like I'm in like my early 20s until I realize I have a kid that like is about to drive, like get her license, and I realize, well, I didn't have her when I was 10, so I'm definitely not in my early 20s. I'm not sure what 40 was supposed to feel like, but I didn't think it felt like this. But I just realized as I was just kind of reflecting a little bit that life has looked nothing like I thought it would. I didn't think I was going to get married I didn't think I was going to meet my wife when I was 19. I didn't think we were going to get married, like, you know, just a couple years later. I didn't think we were going to have kids at all. I didn't think we were going to have kids, and I didn't think we were going to get married in February and find out we were pregnant in October. I didn't know she was going to move me from, I mean, I didn't know God was going to move us from God's country down to the cities. I didn't know that was going to happen. But God has provided for us each step of the way, but it's looked completely different than I thought it would. And I think if we asked anyone, like even a little bit further on in their journey, who's got a few more birthdays than me, they'd probably agree with the same thing. Like, life looked nothing like I thought it would, but it's been amazing. So I just wanted to just leave you with the fact that just because it's simple doesn't mean it's going to be easy. But God wants you to journey, and he wants you to journey with others through this. Would you stand up with me? So we're going to sing a couple more songs. We're going to have the prayer team is going to come up. In my mind, like I think, right, music is amazing. I love when Nikki leads worship. It's amazing. Like, the message is important. But I think what's really also important, I want to say like more important, but like God wants to do something right now. Like, I believe in all, like my heart of hearts that right now, whatever it is that you might be experiencing in your life, if you're experiencing anxiety, if you're experiencing worry, if you're experiencing any of those things, like that God wants to bring you freedom right now. If you're experiencing some sort of physical pain, as I was praying, as I was driving up, I just felt like God was saying, if you're experiencing physical pain, God wants to heal you right now. There's not like some sort of, like when the prayer folks come up, and you guys can come up. When they come up, there's no any like magic, you know, like handshake. There's nothing secret. There's not nothing like that. It's our job to pray, and it's God's job to heal. And so this morning, if you're experiencing any of those things, I would love for you just to come up and be bold and come up and get prayer. I realize like you think if you don't normally come up, like it might feel a little intimidating, but nobody's going to be staring at you. And if they are, who cares? We want to pray for you today. And I want to pray right now as we transition to that. Jesus, we thank you just for you, just for you being you and being so passionately caring about us and wanting so desperately for us to be, for us to follow you and to be like you and to become more like you, Jesus. And so this morning, I pray that we would do that. I pray that just even right now, God, like whatever it is that you want to do, that you do it right now. Like even that you bring healing right now in Jesus' name. I want to pray for anybody who just has thought, like they, as they sit and listen to this, they think, well, I don't know if I've ever decided to follow Jesus. Today would be an amazing day to do that. You don't have to have all your stuff together. You don't have to have, like as a matter of fact, you don't have all your stuff together, and that's cool. Like Jesus loves you just the way you are. So I want to encourage you to come up. If you've never begun following Jesus, one of these folks would love to pray with you and talk about that a little bit. So God, I pray that you just come and do whatever it is that you want to do right now. Bring freedom from anxiety, even just people as they're standing. Just bring freedom from anxiety. Bring freedom from worry. Help us to trust you more deeply, Jesus. Because you are good. You are good. You're a good God. Amen.